This morning, if you'd like to follow along as we read God's Word together, we're turning to the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 54. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin reading at verse 50. Hear the Word of the Lord. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of their tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask that you would give us grace to receive your truth and faith and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. It's a well-known fact that a well-chosen object lesson is a great way to teach a spiritual truth. And that is a teaching tool you see all throughout the Bible. It's in the Old Testament everywhere, whether it's the sacrificial system or the Passover or the ceremonial washings or circumcision. Those are all object lessons that point to some truth about the covenant of grace or in some way point to the coming Christ. And you come to the New Testament and you have object lessons everywhere. I think of how often Jesus is referring to a tree or the birds. Unforgettable images such as the idea of getting the speck out of someone else's eye when you have a plank in your own eye. You hear that one time and it just sticks. It's a wonderful teaching tool. Paul uses sports metaphors. Object lessons, whether it's the race or the boxing match. And the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a visible sermon. It's an object lesson in and of itself. Those are powerful teaching tools. And with the death and resurrection of Jesus, we see in the gospel according to Matthew that God gives three of perhaps the most dramatic object lessons in all of the Bible. One is the tearing of the veil. Two is the shaking of the earth. And three is the resurrection of some saints. Let's look at these this morning and just see what exactly this shows us about the gospel. Number one, the temple veil or temple curtain torn from top to bottom. You have to realize the temple in Jerusalem, that everything about it sent the message to stay away. You're not worthy to approach the holy God. And so you had these series of courts. The outer court was the court of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles could come no closer than that outer court. Then you had the court of the women, and female Jews could come no closer than the court of the women. Then you had the court of Israel, and Jewish men could come no closer than the court of Israel. And then on the inside of the temple, you had the holy place, the court of the priests. And only priests could enter the court of the priest. And they had to come under all kinds of conditions. Certain type of dress. They had to come for a certain type of religious business. You did not just hang out in the court of priests. You came, you took care of your religious business, and then you left. Sacrifices upon sacrifices, thousands of lambs and goats sacrificed in the Passover week. But then, inside the holy place, inside the court of priests, there was a small area that was the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. And once you got through all the layers of the onion to the most holy place, this is where God met with his people. But there were all kinds of restrictions there too. You can read about them in Leviticus 16. But just to summarize, only one man in all of Israel could enter into the Holy of Holies, the high priest. And the high priest could only enter the Holy of Holies on one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement. And he had to wear special garments, and he had to bring with him the blood of a goat to sprinkle on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And if anybody else besides the high priest dared to enter into the Holy of Holies, he would be instantly struck dead. And if the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies on any day other than that Day of Atonement, that one day out of the year, he would be struck dead. Or if the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies and he didn't have the proper garments on, he would be struck dead. Or if he entered in and he didn't bring the blood of a goat, he would be struck dead. The point being, everything about the whole system screamed, stay away, do not approach, you are not able to approach a holy God. In fact, it was as if the temple itself, in the constant stream of sacrifices, was intended to be a roadblock, a caution sign. And to reinforce all of these prohibitions the temple erected about approaching God, God ordered a thick curtain to be hung between the holy place and the most holy place. Now, what does a curtain communicate? Privacy. Keep out. Do not look. And this was no ordinary curtain. We read in Exodus 26:31, it was, quote, a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It shall be made with cherubim skillfully worked into it. Josephus and other Jewish writers describe the curtain of the temple. It was 60 feet tall and 30 feet wide. And it was the thickness of a man's hand facing frontward. 60 feet. I measured the floor to ceiling height with my app. If it's accurate, that's 25 feet from the floor to the ceiling. So double that and add 10 feet. This thick. Josephus said it took 300 men to hoist this curtain up. It was so heavy. And at the moment our Savior was crucified, God ripped the veil in half, 60 feet from top to bottom. What an object lesson. In the book of Hebrews, we learn that the curtain represented the body of Jesus, Hebrews 10:19. We have confidence to enter the holy places, that is, the holy place and the Holy of Holies. We, you, me, male, female, master, slave, rich, poor, young, old, black, white, we have confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. So in the tearing of the veil, we have a giant object lesson. Through the blood of Jesus, you have instant access to the throne room of the universe. That means you can go to God at any time. You can go to God anywhere. You can go to God about anything. You can go to God for any reason, and your Heavenly Father will not turn you away. You have an all-access pass to the throne room of the universe through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The curtain has been torn. There's a second object lesson on the day that Jesus died that Matthew mentions. The earth shook. Look at the end of verse 51. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. There was a tremendous upheaval in nature. There was an earthquake, a miraculous earthquake. At the moment Jesus died, it split big rocks in two. It opened up tombs so that bodies were exposed. What's the significance of this? Well, you'll remember in Exodus 19, when the law was given by God, Mount Sinai shook by an earthquake. And the earthquake at Sinai reminded men and women, you cannot approach God on your own. The law is holy, but it condemns sinners. It condemns every one of us. It was an earthquake of judgment. But now, when Christ dies, there's another earthquake. This earthquake signifies that the demands of the law have been fulfilled once and for all by the Lord, God-man, Jesus Christ. And so at Mount Sinai, the law condemned but could not save. At Mount Calvary, Christ died and condemned men may be saved because of his atoning work. He paid a debt he did not owe. He died for us in our place. And the earth quaked as an object lesson, saying, at last, the curse is now being reversed. There's a third object lesson. Many saints were raised. End of verse 52. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of their tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. This has always just fascinated me. What an unusual series of events. We don't know exactly what all this means, but this much is clear. The earth shook. Tombs were split open. Many of the saints, and saints in the scriptures always refers to believers. These are genuine believers. People who died believing in the Christ to come were raised from the dead. They went into the holy city, that is Jerusalem, and they gave testimony to the death-destroying, life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And we don't know how many there were. We don't know how long they stayed around. We don't know what happened to them. Did they die again? Did they ascend into heaven? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. If it doesn't tell us, we don't need to know. But what does this mean? What does this object lesson mean? Well, think about the timeline here. We know that Jesus died on the ninth hour, that is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock on Good Friday. So at 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon, when Christ died, the earth shook, the tomb split open. But notice what Matthew tells us, verse 53. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection. Now, his resurrection was on Easter Sunday morning. So from 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you had these tombs split open, dead bodies exposed all afternoon, all Friday night, all Sabbath day, Saturday, all Saturday night. Dead bodies exposed. Sunday morning, Jesus is resurrected first. Jesus is resurrected first. After Jesus rose, the saints were raised. That's very significant. That is an object lesson demonstrating to us that Jesus did not just die and rise again for himself. But Jesus died and rose again that others might die and rise again. You, me, saints, believers in Christ. You know, Easter weekend is popularly a time to visit the graves of our loved ones or just visit cemeteries in general. I'm kind of weird like that. I do that. I just have a love for cemeteries for a whole number of reasons. I think they tell an important part of the history of a church or a community or of a culture. I find them a wonderful opportunity to just meditate and think about and be reminded of my own mortality and the brevity of life and the importance of making the most of every moment that the Lord blesses us with and making sure that we are right with the Lord because we are going to appear before Him one day. They connect us to our past. They keep us sober. But I also find cemeteries very hopeful. Because with all the confidence in the world, I can stroll through a cemetery and know one day these bodies are coming out. This is not the end. And when Jesus returns, the dead in Christ are going to rise. That's how I view this third and final object lesson here. I think this is a kind of first fruits, as Jesus is a first fruits, a down payment, a guarantee that more will come of the resurrection. These saints are a first fruits. They're just a small glimpse in a small town on the other side of the world that happened 2,000 years ago as an object lesson to tell us today that eternal life is real, the resurrection is real, and it is ours through the resurrected Jesus Christ. A torn curtain to illustrate we have an all-access pass to the throne room of the universe through the atoning death of Christ. An earthquake to illustrate to us that the demands of the law have been paid and our sins are forgiven. And a mini resurrection of the saints to assure us that one day, if you die in Christ, when your body is rotted away and people have forgotten you ever lived, Christ is going to come to you and say, "Arise and live with me forevermore." He's going to call us out of our graves from death to life, and we're going to walk in resurrected bodies forever. Praise be to God that we celebrate that today, confessing with the centurion and the others who are eyewitnesses to this event, truly, this was the Son of God. Father, we thank you for the victory that is ours over the grave through the resurrection of Christ our Lord. Amen.